Greetings, everyone. It is now time for Marked Safe. Tales of your very favorite and most beloved disasters. On Marked Safe, we discuss events and details that some may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Please listen responsibly and stay safe. And now, here with your hosts, Brianne and Melanie, this is Marked Safe.
We have a winner.
We have a winner.
Not a lot of people went really far on this one.
Only three.
Only three. Who's our winner?
Our winner's name is Brandon Campbell.
Brandon, you won our petty pop culture moment bracket.
Congratulations.
I got some awesome stuff for you. I'll have to get that packed up for you. You know, I was just thinking I might have to make some adjustments on some things. But you know what? I'm just going to...
We only have so many male listeners. We love it.
You're really going to love these donut socks that I got. Fuck it. You know what?
You know what? Brandon, you entered a petty pop culture bracket. Like, what do you think you're going to get? A rifle? No.
No, there's some very gender neutral stuff in there, but there's also some pretty femme stuff too. So maybe I'll have to think about that moving forward.
Maybe we should reach out to Brandon and ask him like where he stands on that. We don't know what he's about.
Maybe he likes some socks.
Maybe. Let us know, Brandon, really quick before we send it out.
But we get to start our new bracket. I hope everybody got their things in. And if you didn't, well, I'm sorry. You are too late.
You missed the boat. The seafood fishing boat.
Are you ready for this one?
No.
I feel like you're going to hate this. This whole bracket you're going to hate. You've only done it for me.
Yes. And you caught me at a weak moment.
Yeah, and I take advantage. Full advantage.
You love to take advantage of me. You caught me when I was having some personal crises and you're like, by the way, what if we do a seafood bracket? I'm just like, fuck, I don't care. I don't fucking care. We can do any bracket you fucking want. And now I have to weigh seafoods against each other every week for a fucking million years.
Just stuck with Pokemon, my dear.
Listen, you should have. God bless it.
You know what? This came from a horrible ghoul. So it's, you know, I'm not falling down on the sword for this. This is not just my fault.
Yes, you are. You are the fucking puppeteer here, Melanie. Don't front. Don't fucking play with me. Yes, you are.
I love this first matchup and I love both of these things. And it would be impossible for me to pick. I actually had one of them the day before yesterday.
I mean, the odds are real good. I've never had either one. Like, the odds are far greater than 50% that I have never had either.
We got to get you venturing out.
Fuck. Tell me what they are, because I'm probably going to have to Google them. So let's do week one. Let's do this.
Okay. Week one. Oysters Rockefeller versus steamed mussels.
Fuck. Okay. Okay. Fuck. Okay. Hate. Double hate. Okay. So Oysters Rockefeller. Oysters on the half shell, topped with a rich sauce of butter, parsley, and green herbs, breadcrumbs, and then baked or broiled. I don't feel like I want to eat an oyster ever in my life, but I mean, the overall flavor profile does sound pretty good. Which is the one you just had?
Steamed mussels, which kind of sent Aria in a little bit of distress because when I said mussels, like she thought like human mussels.
Yeah.
But when it came out and they were in shells, she's like, ah, I see.
Okay. So, I mean, I do pretty much know what I'm going to say here, but texture-wise, what is the difference between oysters and mussels? Because I've never had either.
They're about the same. I feel like oysters are a little gooier. Mussels are, you know, they're a little more tender than oysters. But also that depends on how they're cooked. So I would say, I don't know, about the same consistency. Okay. Between these two.
Okay.
But I love the mussels because you can like scoop the juice and just kind of use the...
You're fucked up.
has garlic You're bread.
Don't ever say scoop the juice to me. You can have garlic bread with anything. You don't need to eat this fucked up horse hoof looking slimy food just to have garlic
bread. What is wrong with scoop the juice?
You can go to the store for garlic bread right now and come home for $2 and eat an entire box of garlic bread as a side with anything you could possibly want. No. This is not going to Trojan horse its way into anything with fucking garlic bread. And I'm offended that garlic bread would do that. This is fucked.
So does that mean they lost?
Yeah. They lost because they look like horse hooves. They lost because they don't have a nice crunchy garlicky topping necessarily. They lost because they're called mussels, which isn't, you know, nice in the first place. Oysters are theoretically an aphrodisiac. Pretty sure that's bullshit, but, you know, can't hurt to be horny. And
sure can't.
And I'm really upset with the trickery that just tried to slide by here with the, and you can have garlic bread with them. Like, you can't have garlic bread with fucking anything. You can go get a burrito from Taco Bell and have garlic bread with it.
They don't have garlic bread.
You can go to fucking Walmart right now and you can buy literally anything. You can fucking, you can get some SpaghettiOs and have garlic bread with those. You can have anything. Anything at all.
You trying, know what? I love Walmart's garlic bread.
Yeah, they've got lots of good garlic bread.
And their garlic knots. So good.
Yeah.
All right. So, Oysters Rockefeller.
Yeah, reluctantly, because, like, would I ever eat that? Fuck no, I wouldn't.
I wish you would try some things. Live a little.
I've tried some things, Melanie. I've lived a little. You know the bullshit I'm on. Don't encourage me.
You know what? I won't hold my breath, but a girl can dream.
Yeah, a lot of girls can. Keep dreaming about me and oysters.
So this week's episode's going to be a little on the lighter side. I went on vacation last minute to go visit some family. And laptops don't really hold a charge in a car. So I did the best I can. I mean, it's not too short, but, you know,
it's a little shorter. Go buy some garlic bread.
You'll feel better. Go buy some garlic bread. I will tell you, it is a jam-packed episode, so it is not lacking in that department.
That tends to be the case for you in episodes. They're always very dense. Where do you even buy mussels? I'm still stuck on this. I've never seen a fucking mussel in a store in my life.
I just go to my local Rouse's.
What the fuck is that?
It's just our supermarket.
Your supermarket. I'm so sick of regional supermarkets, and I wish we would stop, although I will defend Meijer with my life. Anyway.
You know what?
What?
Rouse's would kick Meijer's ass. Rouse's is just so good. Their fresh flowers that they carry are absolutely divine. You can go in and get, like, your crawfish boil stuff. You can get, like, crawfish boil that's already made. That's where I got my armadillo eggs. Remember that?
Unfortunately, I wish I didn't.
And get oysters. I always get my oysters from Rouse's, but everything's just fresh. That's probably because I'm in Louisiana too, but yeah, they have mussels there. Other than that, I just normally go to a restaurant and get them.
Okay. With garlic bread, I fucking suppose.
Yes. Because you need something to sop up the juices that you didn't scoop up.
I'm so over you.
You need a vacation from me.
I can't fucking stand you. Yes, I do.
Okay. All right.
Let's proceed.
Here we go. Yeah, let's proceed. We haven't really talked about one of these yet, so I'm a little excited. So in 1975, ahead of the 4th of July holiday weekend, Las Vegas was, as usual, hopping. But just a few weeks into monsoon season, Sin City would be hit with a storm so bad that it would cause upwards of $25 million in damages in today's money. The North American monsoon season lasts between June 15th and September 30th in the southwestern states and is caused by a seasonal wind shift on a regional scale. At its peak, monsoons can cause daily storms coupled with flash flood threats, wind damage, and dust storms. And if you've never experienced a monsoon season, like, let me show you, it is fucking wild. Like, it comes out of nowhere.
I've never experienced anything of the sort, but it sounds... No, I'm not going to say that. It's really bad, but it sounds so rainy, and I love rain.
Ugh, me too. I mean, some of it is just so nice. I mean, it's dangerous. When we lived in Vegas, I grew up in my formative years in Arizona, so I've experienced monsoons, but I've never really appreciated it until I was an adult living in Vegas. It's just... You know, you drive and then all of a sudden you have to pull over because everything's flooding. It's weird. It's so weird.
Wow.
Around noon on July 3rd, thunderstorms began to develop southwest of Las Vegas and lightning filled the skies. Lightning struck several power lines, someone's home, two buildings that subsequently caught on fire, and a Delta jet as it was landing at the McCarran International Airport in Vegas. But since Royce Sullivan wasn't on board, crew and passengers were not injured.
I love you. Fucking chef's kiss callback.
You know what? If you don't know who that is, you got to
get on Patreon.
Over, get on Patreon. It's the most shit I've ever heard Brianne talk ever.
And then.
In my life. Then they have to listen to find out. It was... glorious.
I got fucking did dirty in that one. I got fucking done dirty.
Oh. Another Cessna plane crash landed at the height of the storm, but miraculously again, no injuries. As the thunderstorms moved across the west side of Las Vegas Valley, it quickly dumped almost 3 inches of rain. Because Las Vegas is situated in a basin on the floor of the Mojave Desert and is surrounded by mountain ranges on all sides, the city depends on a 12-mile-long channel called the Las Vegas Wash to feed the city's excess water into Lake Mead. Side note, is anybody following Lake Mead right now? Are you following Lake Mead?
No. What is there to follow? What's the deal?
So there, because of a drought right now, the water level is like the lowest it's been in like many years. And now all these dead bodies keep being found.
Oh, shit.
I think they're at like 5 right now. One of them was like in a barrel. And they're speculating a lot of it is like mob ties.
Wow.
It's.
Wow.
I don't know. I read something where they're expecting like hundreds of bodies at the bottom of Lake Mead.
Holy shit.
Right?
That is fucking bonkers crazy.
I'm sure some of them are like swimming and boating accidents, but right now, like, the speculation is most are going to be like crime connected.
Wow.
The Las Vegas Wash has several inflows, including the Las Vegas Creek, which flooded immediately when the storm hit. With the torrential rains coupled with a sudden snowmelt from the surrounding mountains, soon other inflows like the Tropicana and Flamingo washes began flooding too. Quickly, sewage plants became overwhelmed and fetid water was forced out through manhole covers on the streets like fountain.
So gross. Fuck. That sounds awful.
Runoff from the flood was so great that soon it took over Interstate 15. At one point, every exit off of I-15 was completely underwater. While directing traffic at I-15 and Craig Road, two North Las Vegas City employees, Mike Williams and Richard Hunkins, were hit by a wall of water and swept away. Mounted police immediately searched for Mike and Richard, but it wouldn't be until the next day that their bodies were recovered from mud piles, carried almost 2 miles away by the raging floodwaters.
Wow.
So I searched and searched to find more information about Mike and Richard, and I was super disappointed when I couldn't find much of anything, like, other than what I've said here. I don't know. People are more than their fucking job description.
I hate that. I fucking hate that.
It's... it makes me so mad. The only other thing I did found The only other thing I did find was on Facebook. It was from like a flood safety video. And one of Richard's cousins had actually made a post in the comments. I can't believe I stumbled on it. She was saying that Richard had served in the military and had a wife, a little girl, and a baby boy at the time of his passing.
Oh, my gosh.
So it just, I don't know. Their deaths, like, only during this disaster was, like, nothing more than a brief mention in those articles.
That is exactly what happened in Balloon Fest. I think that there were two guys, I think they may have been fishermen, and I believe their names were out there, but there just was nothing about them. It was just two fishermen. And I'm like, they were more than that.
Yeah. Other highlights of the storm completely overshadowed the loss, and, I mean, it is a reminder that journalism just needs to fucking do better. So, what could possibly overshadow two lives lost during the flood? Well, the answer is cars and, of course, gambling. As the Flamingo Wash flooded just north of Las Vegas Strip, raging waters poured into the parking lot of Caesar's Palace, where over 700 cars were parked in a full lot. Some parts of the parking lot would eventually become submerged in almost 20 feet of water. I don't know if I can say this name right. Tourist Delbert Ball said, "It happened so fast, I doubt anyone really saw it coming. I went back to my room at 5 p.m. and at 5:30, cars were underwater." A hotel desk employee for the casino said, "Caesars is a mess. The cars are standing on top of each other. The valet parking lot is really bad." Some try to save their cars when the flooding started, but with the water levels rising at such a fast rate, their efforts were in vain. Tourist Cindy Lotspeak said, "People were laughing at first, but the police blocked off the bridge and all three Caesars parking lots were overflowing. And the people stopped laughing and they tried to get to their cars. I can't swim, and when I try to get to my car the first time, she says, "the water was about hip high. I was scared to death. We got the car started, but the water made the car die again." Listen, people, don't do this.
No, don't do that. No. That's super not a good idea.
No. Turn around. No victim don't shaming drown. Here, but. Yeah. According to the National Weather Service, quote, "more deaths occur due to flooding than from any other thunderstorm-related hazard." The Center for Disease Control and Prevention report that over half of all flood-related drownings occur when a vehicle is driven in hazardous floodwater. The next highest percentage of flood-related deaths is due to walking into or near floodwaters. People underestimate the force and power of water. Many of the deaths occur in cars swept downstream. Many of these drownings are preventable. Never drive around barriers blocking a flooded road. The road may have collapsed under the water. A mere 6 inches of fast-moving floodwater can knock over an adult. It takes just 12 inches of rushing water to carry away most cars and just 2 feet of rushing water to carry away SUVs and trucks.
People really do underestimate that, I feel like. Even I do, and I know better. But, I mean, especially if there's, like, a little, even if nothing's, you know, damaged structurally or washed out, there's just, like, a little dip in the road, you can't fucking see it.
No.
Because there's too much water. I did that a few months ago. I was driving somewhere, and I went into, like, a really, I didn't realize how deep it was, puddle's not the word, under an underpass, and my fucking car floated for a second.
It's the scariest, and I was like, most surreal fuck feeling. No. Right?
Yeah.
No, it happened to me, like I said, when I was in Vegas, and I mean, I just like, it kind of like shifted, you know, I was trying to get off the road and I went in this parking lot and it probably pulled me a good like 2 feet before I finally got, you know, it parked. It was stressful as fuck because I was pregnant with Josie. Oh,
God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Legendary race car driver Sterling Moss was in town that night to attend a Frank Sinatra concert as a guest of honor at Caesar's Palace. When the flood hit the steps of the casino, Sterling's girlfriend was almost swept away, but he managed to pull her to safety. Afterwards, Sterling and two of his buddies noticed half a dozen cars in the parking lot with people stuck in them, so they waded in the waist-deep waters and rescued them. The trio would later be called by the press as the three heroes of Las Vegas. Again, more mention than the two people that passed away.
Yeah, I really hate that. Like, that is maybe my biggest pet peeve in research.
Because the Caesars parking lot was in the path of a flood control channel, the floating cars and debris hindered the water from properly draining the area. One witness said the parking lot filled up like a sink when the culvert opening was blocked. Heavy equipment and cranes were brought in to clear away the wreckage to allow the water to finally pass through. And I'll post pictures of this. Maybe I'll use it for the art because it is pretty bananas to look at. You know, it's surreal.
Yeah, definitely.
With absolute chaos happening outside, many people inside the casinos were completely unaware of what was going on. Can you imagine, like, going in, everything's fine, it's fine, and then you come out, and it's like the apocalypse happened.
No, my God.
Casino management was perfectly fine with their guests not knowing about the disaster that waited them outside. And if the casino started flooding, well, they would make that work, too. One casino boss said, "We will have floating crap games before we interrupt the gamblers." And gamblers didn't seem to mind either, because this, in fact, happened in some spots. One newspaper reported that shoeless gamblers, pant legs rolled up, continued to plunk coins into slot machines in some casinos as calf-deep water swirled around them after the freak storm on Thursday.
Wow. Shoeless gamblers.
Mm-hmm.
What a vibe.
I miss the days with the coins, too. Can we bring the buckets of coins back? That was my favorite.
I've been to a casino once in my life. I'm unfamiliar.
Now it's just you put your money in and it prints out a ticket. It's very anticlimactic. I mean, maybe that's the point. Maybe that helps with, I don't know.
I don't think they're trying that hard to make it less addictive.
Well, no, not that it's less addictive, but it is easier to lose a ticket than it is to lose a bucket of coins. So they probably are making bank just on drunk people losing, like, their little winning slips.
Mm, yeah.
You know, it's just like a tiny receipt.
Yeah. Fuck, that's true.
As I mentioned, the monsoon and flood caused millions of dollars in damage. And because Las Vegas was in the business of making money, not losing it, the city needed a solution to prevent something like this from ever happening again. Spoiler alert, it's still fucking happening. Just a month ago, two men were killed after being found in a flood channel in two separate incidents. And there are videos floating around right now of rain pouring in through the ceilings of the Planet Hollywood casino. 2 years after the 1975 flood, the Flamingo Wash was funneled into man-made tunnels underneath Interstate 15, Caesars Palace, and Las Vegas Boulevard to protect the strip from something like this happening again. But these tunnels offered up something no one else expected. While tourists today enjoy the sights and sounds walking the Las Vegas Strip, they have no idea that below their feet, thousands of people have made these tunnels their home.
Oh, wow.
They're known to the locals of Las Vegas as the Mole People.
The Mole People?
The Mole People.
Seems a little disrespectful, but okay.
It's very disrespectful.
Yeah.
This underground society of houseless people have found shelter in the storm drains away from the intense heat of Las Vegas, where temperatures can exceed over 115 degrees.
Wow.
Most of the residents of the tunnel suffer from addiction to drugs and gambling. Because America often turns their back on our unhoused population and because the tunnels offer an out-of-sight, out-of-mind solution to the crisis, the community living in the Las Vegas tunnels seem to have gone on unnoticed for years. It wasn't until 2002 that the tunnels drew public attention when it was discovered that Timmy T.J. Weber had used the tunnels to evade a massive police hunt after he killed his girlfriend, Kim Gauthier, and her 15-year-old son, Anthony, after it was discovered he had been sexually abusing Kim's daughter.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Disgusting.
Yeah. That's horrifying.
Author of Beneath the Neon, Life and Death in the Tunnels of Las Vegas, Matthew O'Brien became curious on how Timmy managed to hide in a storm drain when reports surfaced after his capture. He said, "That got me interested in what Weber heard in these tunnels, what he smelled, what he saw, and so I followed his path, and then I continued to explore other tunnels. We were not expecting to find people. That was just not something that was in our mind. And when you stumble upon the first camp, when you see the silhouette of a bed and a makeshift grill and a person, it's a strange experience." Many tunnels residents have made their spaces feel more like home, furnished with beds and bookshelves on stilts to keep dry from the water, using battery-powered lights to help illuminate the pitch-black tunnels. One Las Vegas native named Steve moved underground after his drug addiction left him houseless. His space is complete with a makeshift shower made out of a jug and a spout. He said, "Just because we live outside doesn't mean we can't be comfortable. Our shower works just fine. Need a little privacy? Just put the curtain up." But while some have made their spaces more comfortable, the bottom line is that living in a tunnel, these tunnels, is fucking dangerous. Crime is rampant in the storm drains. One resident named Angel, who has lived in the tunnel for over 5 years, said, "There are no cameras here, and I even heard of murders. It's hard to shake me, but the worst thing I saw down here was an artist who lived down here getting his fingers cut off by another homeless person."
Wow, that's awful. That's fucking horrible. I can't get unstuck from the thought of that. I feel like a grill in there would be really fucking dangerous.
Oh, I'm sure. But there are a lot of grills there. I mean, some of these spaces, because they have like little corridors where people will make them into like full on like a studio apartment almost. Wow. And that's not everyone, you know. Yeah,
I definitely want to find pictures of this. It sounds really interesting.
It's super interesting. And it's, you know, it is pitch black in there. So, you know, some people have flashlights. Some people, you know, have their battery operated things. So it's very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. I've read where the community is like almost divided into sections. And one of the workers that goes down there says, you know, there's tunnels for specifically heroin use, and there's a tunnel for methamphetamine use, and they don't get along, so they stay separate. And it's just weird. I don't know, it's strange how it just works like that, you know?
Yeah.
God.
Fascinating.
Yeah. There have been many murders in the tunnels, including one just this summer when an argument led to a man being shot in the face and then his remains burned deep within the tunnel. And aside from the rampant drug use and crime, there's the simple fact that these tunnels are just not fucking safe during adverse weather conditions. When it rains, the tunnels are designed to collect the water from above and then push it out of the city. Louis Lacey, director of crisis teams at Help of Southern Nevada, said, "When it rains, the people in the tunnels only have a few minutes until the tide washes away their homes. There are many objects in the tunnels that can hit you, which could potentially lead to drowning." The two individuals that I mentioned earlier that had passed away in the flood channels last month, they were also residents of the tunnels. But organizations like Shine a Light are trying to help. Shine a Light is a nonprofit that offers placement with access to treatment and housing to all clients that they come into contact with or that reach out for help, particularly with men, women, and children who live in the underground flood channels. It offers immediate help to those who want to leave the tunnels, offering detox and sober living straight away without all the red tape and lag time that you usually see with other charities.
That's wonderful.
Oh, this group is incredible. They could probably have an entire episode just done on their work. Some of the nonprofit members and directors know all too well what the community in the tunnel faces because they also lived it. Outreach director Robert Banghart said, "I was at my lowest in my life. I can remember the day that I looked in my tunnel for the first time. It was like buying a new house."
Wow.
After being attacked with an axe, a pipe, and stabbed repeatedly, Robert found himself in the hospital for a month, and once he recovered from his life-threatening injuries, he decided to seek help from Shine a Light, eventually joining the team. The team's executive director also found himself living in the Las Vegas tunnels for years after finding himself on the street due to a heroin addiction. After being arrested for outstanding warrants in 2014, Paul decided to get clean and start volunteering with Shining a Light to help those that he had a shared experience with. When the Shine a Light founder moved to Central America, he asked Paul if he could keep the organization running, and he's been doing it ever since. Okay, this is pretty incredible. Since the beginning of this year alone, 2022, 220 people have already left the tunnels with the Shine a Light Foundation.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Amazing. Robert said, there's 600 miles of tunnels in Las Vegas and 1,500 people living in them. But everyone in there is a life, someone worth saving. So, and this article that I found where they said 220, I mean, this was a couple months ago, so I'm sure that number is much higher. If you would like to donate, you can do so on their website at shinealightlv.com. They also have an Amazon wish list for supplies that go directly for those that are unhoused and are, you know, occupying the tunnels, which I love an Amazon wish list. It just, it gets the goods like straight to them. I believe there's like socks and flashlights, all of that good stuff. You can find that by registering with Amazon Smile and selecting Shine a Light as your organization and then just making an order through Amazon. If you are a Las Vegas local and are looking for volunteer work, you can also find those opportunities on their website. And that is the terrible, terrible story of flooding in Las Vegas and how it is affecting our unhoused population.
I really, really, really love bringing some attention to this. I feel like everybody has like a thing, like an issue or a cause that just fucking absolutely gets under their skin. It's always orphan polar bears with 55-year-old white ladies.
Yes.
I don't know why, but everyone has something, or fucking sea turtles or something. Not that they're not worthy of our attention, but I feel like everybody has like a thing, and my unhoused population has been mine for my entire life.
Yes.
So this is, I really love to hear, you know, I'm trying to find a way to say something other than a light shined on this, because it's a bit too on the nose right now.
Right. You know, I mean, it's just, it's sad, and it's a big, horrible problem in the States, and it shouldn't have to be.
No.
There are solutions out there, and it's just nobody fucking gives a shit. It sucks. When I lived in Oregon, at one point in Salem, which is the fucking capital of Oregon, they were like putting up like these weird posts and stuff on the fucking sidewalks so people couldn't like sleep there.
That fucking disgusts me.
Like, that was their solution. They spent all this money on that when they could have, like, that money could
done
have
went, something.
Done something. Yeah. Done something.
Other than just making someone have nowhere else to fucking sleep. That gets my blood boiling. I can't with that.
And it's just, you know, there's so many people that are, like, just quick to jump, like, oh, it's drugs and stuff. I mean, there are so many things that can happen that can put you in that same situation. There are pregnant women in that tunnel. There are children who have done fucking nothing that are living in that tunnel. There's disabled veterans. There's all walks of life. There are women that have been sex trafficked that are basically just hiding. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not always the worst thing.
No. No. It's not. Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
I love that you did this.
Thank you.
This is kind of I wish I could talk. This is kind of a diversion from how we usually go about things, like kind of a non-standard episode structure.
Right.
But I love it, personally. I'm super glad it happened.
You ready for some disaster relief?
Yes. You want to go first? Or you want me to?
I can go first.
Okay.
So speaking about donation, I've been really caught up with the Jackson, Mississippi water crisis. It's hurricane season. They're flooding again. It's, you know, in a minority community, like, often overlooked. It really bothered me. So I made a donation and I posted that if anyone, I don't even care if it's a dollar, you know, made a donation, you know, I would put together like a little merch giveaway or something. And everyone really pulled through. Like, I saw a ton of donations. So thank you. Thank you. I was going to do just like one drawing, but I think instead what I'm going to do is like actually make, order some design and order some, like, some pins and stickers and stuff. So be patient with me. It is coming. I'm on it. but thank you to everyone that fucking donated. It, being able to do this podcast and just having like-minded people that are out there and willing to help, I mean, it is, it makes it all worth it to me.
Oh, yeah. The community is incredible.
Mm-hmm. What's yours?
What's mine? I guess you could sort of say that I've sort of lost a bet on this one. and I've sort of obligated myself to say that I was wrong about Virgos. My Virgo friends have opened my eyes to the benefits of Virgos lately. And I've had my mind.
What are the qualities of Virgos that we should love and adore?
I would say organization, planning, attention to detail, a nice level-headed, pragmatic attitude about life. I've gotten a lot of shit from the people in my life since that episode, the Virgos in my life. And I have, in as many words, lost a bet, so I have to eat my words in disaster relief now.
Okay,
Virgos, so- I'm sorry.
Aww, I love it. Do you want to apologize to Ohio while we're here?
No. No, not at all.
Maybe one day. Don't hold your breath, Ohio. We do have some patrons before we go. Emily Regal leveled up their tier, so thank you for that. I noticed. and then we have three new patrons. We have Paige Bundy, Aaron Stenslin, and Anne Feutz, Feutz. I don't know. That's about as close as I think I'm going to get. You guys are buddies, so go donate some blood, go donate some food, go donate a kidney.
Absolutely. Donate one to a Virgo because they deserve it.
They deserve it. And thank you guys for being patient and letting me get away with kind of a shorter episode this week. I will be back to business.
It was such next a good time. One, though. It was so it worth was- it. We've got Barefoot Gamblers and Good Causes.
Yes. Barefoot yes. Gamblers and Good Causes. I think that's your title.
I think it probably is.
All right. Until next time, sweet dreams or no dreams?
Sweet dreams or no dreams.
Hey, Horrible Ghouls. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you would like to share your personal MarkSafe moment, you can send it to us at MarkSafePodcast@gmail.com. Please give our podcast a rate, review, and subscribe, and tell your buddies about us, too. That goes a long way. If you want to further elevate your support, check out our MarkSafe Patreon page, where we have shoutouts, goodies, and some bonus content in the works. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks again, and as always, stay safe.